Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. We got Clash the Castle in Glasgow, Scotland next, or pretty much this Sunday. This Saturday. We're not a week away. We're less than a week away. This Saturday in the UK. We'll go through the card, the big match, World Heavyweight Championship match with Drew and Damian Priest. We just got an I Quit match added to that card with Cody and AJ. So we'll dive into that shortly, and we'll also get through a couple weeks in 2008, culminating in the One Night Stand pay-per-view. One Night Stands got really mid after a certain point, and this is just another one of them. If you're hoping for not another Triple H and Shawn and Randy Orton match, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. It's going to be the last one for a while, though. But before we get into all that, we had a little bit of news breaking, seemingly breaking overnight. You know, when it comes to pro wrestling, as someone that's actually done reporting and journalism and news, I kind of take a lot of the shit with grains of salt. But it was reported yesterday. I'm going to try to get who's PW Insider. PWInsider.com had reported that Ricochet had given WWE notice he intends to leave when his current contract expires later this summer. It seemed like something that, I don't know if like we were barreling towards an inevitability here, but you know, once William Ocean Spray decided to run his mouth for like the last month or so about how good Ricochet is, I don't know if that got to his head or whatever. He gonna be thinking, hey, being a main eventer on Wednesdays is better than what I'm doing now. And you're in a prominent role, dog. I truly don't get why he's leaving. Be honest with you. I don't understand why he would want to leave.
I think that if I had to guess, just based on the situation here, he probably does want to succeed in WWE, but he probably also wants more money. And I guess that, I shouldn't say I guess, they're clearly offering a lot more money over in one company right now to a lot more people. They're not as selective as WWE is being right now with their money.
They're kind of like, if we know that you have any, you know, interest in coming over, we'll pay the fine.
Yeah. And like, that's fine. You know, I think that he definitely hit his ceiling in WWE. I think the only thing that I have to, that I'm left to wonder is like, how did we not get one match with Seth?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
That's, I mean, like, even Seth's title run in 2019, there was never a singles opportunity. I mean, I know they did the series with Styles. That was fine. But, like, I think a series with Seth would have hit another level, but they never had any interest in doing
even
that.
Even in the pandemic, would it would have made
yeah,
sense?
Even, yes. Yeah, not even that.
You know, they really fumbled a bag with that one. But like, yeah, the whole money part, you know, they say money can't buy happiness. I would disagree. But at the same time, like, what's the difference in the dollar amount to where going to AEW, and who knows if he's even going to be one of AEW stars, right? He could just be somebody that gets paid and works some mid-card matches. Is that really better than being prominently featured on Monday nights, on Friday nights, every single week? I don't know.
Yeah, that's really the thing. But I think at the same time, kind of like you guys said, he probably reached a ceiling in WWE, to be honest with you as well. Like, I know there is a second belt now, but like, you just look at the guys on Raw, like, he'd be probably sixth or seventh in line for that title. Like, it happens sometimes. Like, you know, it's been a while since we've like had to address this, but there's some guys who are just better fits for AEW. There's some guys who are just better fits for WWE, and he kind of feels like a better fit for AEW.
I think the only questions that I have, I guess if you want to call them questions, he's 35. He obviously has a lot more tread on his tires than he did several years ago when he entered NXT. Mm-hmm. So I guess he's going to be motivated, obviously, but where's that motivation going to come from if the usual path that's happened for some free agents in AEW where they get cooled down happens?
And yeah, no, that's true.
The only other point is that, like, if you're going to argue anything, you know, you say he's a great worker. the matches weren't the problem in WWE.
No.
Right. He always had good matches. So it's another situation, I think, where it's like, okay, he goes to AEW, everyone's going to be excited, but I think that it's just, it's a hat on a hat situation where I know that he's good at wrestling.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're going to present that, it's like, I know what's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to be left basically with the same thoughts that I was going to initially anyway.
That's fair.
I think if I may diverge slightly, this is another situation where if he does indeed leave, it's like, okay, I know that the match has curses for other reasons, but like that entire North American title match from NOLA, nobody is there anymore.
No, it's crazy.
Nobody in the match is there anymore at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's insane. There's more continuity, I feel like, from like one of the first takeovers that they ever had than one from 6 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you even think like, you know, Ricochet and Aleister Black the weekend of WrestleMania 35, they worked SmackDown, you know, takeover WrestleMania and Raw in 4 days, and they're both gone too now. So
yeah.
Obviously one wants to be back for all intents and purposes, but yeah, it's crazy, man. It's really wild kind of how AEW has changed all this stuff, like in both companies, really. Like, I don't buy into the whole thing like, oh, AEW is the only reason WWE got better. There's several reasons WWE got better, but there are things that AEW has done that have made WWE better and vice versa. And, yeah, you know, the talent having a two-way street now is good.
Yeah, I think the two-way street aspect is definitely good. And I also think that, how do I put this? I know that there's obviously a lot of talent in WWE, but everyone keeps talking about how, you know, there's a lot of talent in line.
Yeah.
That's true, there is. How do you think you're going to get there?
Exactly.
More people need to leave that company.
Yeah.
In a way, like, I'm not saying people need to lose their jobs. I'm not saying that, you know, XYZ needs to leave. But, like, the only way you're going to get to that conclusion is if people leave.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's going to have to be some I don't want to say equalness around the various companies, but the strength of more than just WWE and AEW is reliant on these stars being elsewhere and not just simply being tied up doing jack shit.
Absolutely.
In WWE and AEW. Impact is going to need some stars. We'll talk about Impact in a short while. Who are some other like real like low key? I feel like it's mainly like indies, but like, you know, those are kind of like the big three, big four-ish.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, everybody's kind of got to eat. And if everyone's tied up in WWE/NXT or AEW/ROH, it's not really beneficial for the whole, you know. I guess real quick before we move on, this is to me one of the first big tests of the McMahon-Helmsley era. Holy shit, we're really here. Ricochet leaving could make for a really hard time for Samantha. In past regimes, this would be a really bad thing for Samantha Irvin because she'd be left on an island. I don't think Vince would take care of her. I think Vince would, you know, look for any opportunity to embarrass or belittle 100%. Or yes. I don't think Paul is like that.
I don't think
you know, anyone that's still left over in this company is like that. So, but it'd be good. It'd be great to not be proven wrong. So anyway, that's my two cents on that. Speaking of Impact, we are seeing a lot more synergy between WWE and TNA lately. Obviously, by the time you listen to this, NXT Battleground will have already kicked off and finished. Jordynne Grace is challenging for the NXT Women's Champion. Ship challenging what's my girl Roxanne Perez. I think she'll win, but we'll see tomorrow. But you know, we're seeing a lot of integration. I don't see a lot of integration, somewhat of an integration with WWE and TNA, and it's just so fascinating to see. Obviously, from the standpoint of like they were once rivals, and now it's obviously clear. But using TNA not as necessarily as a feeder system, but just like, hey man, you know, you got some stars that can use the rub. Let's come in. Let's treat them right. Remember when Mickey came in and did the Rumble, they didn't call her the Impact Knockouts champion. She was Impact Women's champion.
Yep.
So the fact that like terminology is being used and recognizing them as a viable company, I think that's pretty huge. And I'm very excited to see like beyond Jordynne Grace, what can actually come of it. If they do a Worlds Collide, you know, let's, and not just Worlds Collide NXT TNA, but WWE TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see the possibilities of what could come of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it could be really, it could be really interesting. And I think another interesting thing, Jordan Grace already issued an open challenge for Against All Odds. I think it's next Saturday at Cicero Stadium. So that could be, you know, an NXT WWE person. It's just, it's really just surreal to see them, you know, pop up. And I know no one from WWE has popped up in TNA yet, but it seems like they will. And it's going to be weird, you know. You know, Shinsuke did the Noah thing, was that a couple of years ago for Great Muta? And then before that, like the last time a contracted WWE person appeared in a different company, I think was like Christian, when they did the Hall of Fame thing. So like, and you know, it used to be something that they did a little more often, especially before, you know, WCW went under and before WCW kind of took the lead. They used to do things. It's cool. I mean, it's, you know, there's always going to inevitably be the debate about, like, you know, WWE's benefiting more than TNA or AEW's benefiting more than Japan. But I think it's cool when the companies can kind of share talent like this and kind of try and help elevate each other. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Agreed. I think it's obviously neat to see. And like you said, you know, I'm interested in seeing if there's any WWE and TNA crossovers. I mean, he's pretty much all but telling you he's in his final run. So I wonder if Styles shows up down there.
See, that'd be cool. The only bad part would be that the TNA like main event male scene is very grim.
Yes. Very grim.
It's like Moose, Dolph Ziggler and his brother, Speedball Mike Bailey, Josh Alexander's pretty good. Matt Hardy's still around over there. So yeah. I mean, don't really need any of those guys coming back over, but you know, the women, absolutely. You know, I know the Radicals are back. If you wanted to do something there, I know, you know, the two that aren't Wesley are kind of dipshits, but
I think it's kind of, I think it's kind of a way to do it without ever having to have all of them in the WWE.
Yeah.
So I think the possibility of it happening, I guess it would have to happen because at this point, they are TNA's most like high profile tag team. So if there's going to be that kind of synergy and that, like, hey, we'll boost y'all up, they kind of have to do it.
It's
the men's side. Go ahead.
Well, it's fascinating too. Just one more thing. They don't have another NXT pay-per-view announced after Heatwave. So, and TNA, you know, has a Slammiversary like the week after Heatwave. So it could be possible that there's something, you know, co-branded coming down the pipe after that.
I'd say, I don't even remember like the September, October. I know they do like a Halloween Havoc and I think they do No Mercy, but not like well-versed on my TNA or NXT specials or PLEs or whatever the fuck we be calling them, because they really do, they do like the specials, like how like AEW does like a special Dynamite, and then they actually do PLEs, so it's kind of confusing like which event is which. What was I getting ready to get on? The men's side, like I agree, it's very thin. There's a lot of folks that you don't want to really do business with. I think you could get away with Moose and Drew McIntyre because there's history, and like it would be a nice little ode to Drew being there. You can get away with, you know, a Josh Alexander, you know, match. I don't know who the fuck you put him with, but do I think a WWE audience would be receptive to Josh Alexander? Yes.
Chad Gable.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I would take that. But yeah, like you said, the women's side is kind of going to push this up and make this a thing if it actually happens. And damn, wish the fucking Motor Machine Guns were still there.
Yeah, I know. It sucks, man. I wish they'd show up in AEW already.
They need to. What are they sitting on their ass for? This Saturday, Clash of the Castle, second edition of Clash of the Castle. This one is in Glasgow, Scotland. So actually in Drew McIntyre's hometown, unlike the last time. As I try to pull this shit up here, that's the big match. I think there's definitely an avenue for them to not give Drew the belt. I just think it's very shitty for them to not give Drew the belt here. So I'm sticking with Drew as winning the championship. I do look at Priest as a transitional, and it amplifies all of the mess going on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Within the Judgment Day. I wouldn't be shocked to see some interference, Liv and Dom and kind of that maybe playing a role.
I could see that.
Maybe a distraction, you know. I don't think we're getting Punk distracted. Like, we keep getting and I was there in Hershey on Monday, and just CM Punk chants everywhere. Couldn't, like, anytime Drew's on the screen, it's just CM Punk chants, and he's playing the baby, you know, in this whole role. And they went up when he came out at the end, but then it immediately CM Punk. I don't think we're getting CM Punk here. I think they need to keep him far the fuck away from this. He's not coming back for another month or two or whatever. So he doesn't have to have a role here. Just make it, you know, the Judgment Day versus Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre's got to overcome all the fuckery going on with the Judgment Day. And ultimately, I would like to see the dissension continue to play out and Drew get his victory.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. I think they need to get off the pot with Judgment Day. I think Liv needs to continue to, I guess the word would be infest and, you know, cause more dissension, more division between them. And everything needs to fall apart, especially without Rhea, that her importance needs to continue to be highlighted here. Drew winning makes sense, obviously. So does CM Punk costing him.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing to read just because Gunther has the title shot at SummerSlam. You can't really envision him losing, but you wonder who he would beat in that case. I think he ends up beating, I think, honestly, I can see a situation, they don't do it that often, but we might be due for a hot potato situation where it goes to Drew, Punk wins it in Toronto, and Punk drops it to Gunther. And I only say that because, and I thought this from the start when he won the King of the Ring, the biggest guy that he can win from is CM Punk.
Yeah.
And that's the guy you use to put him over. And then Gunther can go on his run.
You're not wrong. I don't know if you could do a CM Punk title program yet, just because, you know, he has suffered too many injuries in his past two matches.
Like I said, I would understand that. That's fine. That's just my logic for the situation. It's just that I would put the biggest chip in the match to put Gunther over, a la Brock in August 2002 at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Where
Brock won King of the Ring and he faced the biggest guy.
I think that Punk is going to cost Drew here, and they're just going to do that non-title at SummerSlam, and Gunther will just beat Priest.
I think you run the risk of just continuing to not have the champion and the championship be the most important story on the show.
Yeah, well, once it's on Gunther, it will be. So I'm not really concerned about that.
I don't agree with that, because the hottest program is still going to be Drew Punk. You have that's the one thing that you risk. And that's the one thing that I always say when people are like, oh, well, XYZ shouldn't be for the title. You better have something really hot behind it, because otherwise it's going to fall behind. And no disrespect to the guy. I like the guy. He's a Yankee fan. Obviously, I support that. He's cool. He's good. Priest is the first champion to not feel like a world champion so far. And I feel like it used to happen. It's not really his fault either. It's just the way things have gone on that show. There are a lot of people who are just hotter.
No,
but also like his first two challengers was Jey Uso and who was the second one? I'm blanking on the second one, but like he hasn't beaten anybody that makes me go, oh yeah, that's the champion. And it's designed by that, of course.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, he's very much transitional. It's, you know, totally accepting the fact that the goal of putting that belt on Damian Priest was, one, because you had to use the Money in the Bank briefcase, and two, it's really cool to do it at WrestleMania, and three, he's going to dump it off on a Drew McIntyre or CM Punk or whoever the fuck, so then it can eventually get onto Gunther when it's ready. So get it off of him. Do it now. Don't wait until fucking SummerSlam. There's no reason to do it until SummerSlam. I don't know if the hot potatoing happens. I think just because you're immediately doing it at Money in the Bank, and I don't think that's a Toronto match. If you flip it to Punk, and now all of a sudden you got Punk and Gunther, and there's not necessarily the story there beyond title. Fair. I agree. There's nobody that really he can beat and have like the immediate elevation to CM Punk. I just think it's a little bit too much to get there. And then now, unless you get him or Drew costing Punk the match, and then you get like a bloodbath feud in Berlin in Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, that's a potential way to do it. And it continues the Punk. And obviously, once you get past it, whatever Gunther's got going on, it's going to be, you know, a secondary. But I guess it doesn't matter because we finally hit the reign of Gunther. And
I just, it's cool that there's actually intrigue with the major men's title for once, because we haven't had that since maybe probably Kofi, honestly.
Even
Kofi, yeah, it wasn't really intriguing.
Like, the intrigue was more just like, okay, when are we going to go south here?
Yeah,
I mean, it was going to happen.
Maybe since AJ then, even. It's crazy. Yeah, again, the one guy had the title for, you know, 4 years, but...
There wasn't a lot of intrigue around it.
No, exactly.
I was going to say, we were just really happy to not have the belt on gender.
Yeah.
But I think what I was going to say is with Priest, the intrigue with him just comes with finally unpacking Judgment Day and going on in different directions, not necessarily him being the champion, which again, maybe that's unfair, but that's just how things have unfolded. And sometimes that's just the way it is.
I guess
there's nothing I can do about that.
I guess the question becomes, has this title reign done enough to make him a singles guy now where he can, you know, still be in the main event picture? I mean, maybe.
They have to answer the questions. They have to do the split already. They have to get him off. There's one.
Yeah.
He acts like a face at some parts of the show. Then he beats people up and he acts like a heel at the end.
Mm.
Like they have to get off it already with Judgment Day.
Yeah.
They have to have Liv continue to do whatever, and they have to continue to divide because they have to break them up.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question becomes, are we sure that Damian Priest is the bona fide star, men's single star of Judgment Day?
Well,
I think we'll know.
Are you sure he's the future and not Finn Balor?
I think we're going to know after this whole thing because he's going to face, like, you know, quote-unquote adversity in the sense that he's going to have to be built back up. But I think if he's programmed with who I think he's going to be, Finn, he's going to work with him to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's going to be kept on the straight and narrow.
So you think it would be Damian as the babyface in this scenario and Finn as the...
Okay. I can see that.
Yes. Yeah, I would see, and maybe down the line, I could see a situation where Damian and Rhea band together and face Dom and or Finn and Liv.
Oh, yeah. No, I can see that.
At any point down the line in that feud, I could see them like doing a TV main event with that happening. But I think Priest will get babyfaced here, yes.
Okay. I can't see the crowd, but given two of them, I can't see the crowd ever want to root against Finn Balor. Valid.
Yeah, that's fair.
Valid.
Yeah, I think you know, given the dynamics of the two, I think Priest works. I think Priest works a lot better as a heel than he does as a face.
Yeah, there's a guy who the only downside of Gunther winning the King of the Ring is I can't envision him having a world title reign, but maybe he will.
Yeah, no,
fair. Maybe he will. I would like
Finn,
to see
Finn, it. I don't know if Finn ever gets one again.
I would love sad to see part. I would love to see it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time on just the first match.
This will hopefully be
a fun show.
Yeah.
Your girl is defending the women's championship against Piper Niven. I don't think the outcome's in play here, but I'm hoping for a good classic. Bayley gets the shit beat out of her and makes the Hogan run at the end.
Yeah, it's kind of, this is a nice little prelude to Bayley Nia. I wouldn't be surprised if they ran an angle after after that match with her and Nia, because Nia's not on this card right now. This is gonna be fun. Obviously, it's gonna be interesting too, just because it's in Scotland. Piper's from Scotland. Mm-hmm. Bayley's not gonna be playing a full baby face. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play it. Especially considering next month, she might not be playing a pseudo baby face again if Toronto still doesn't like her.
It's true.
But
bizarre world.
Yeah, but this is going to be fun. I like the fact that Piper's getting this shot. She's tremendous.
Yeah, they did.
Her,
they did a good job putting the Scottish people on the card.
Yes, they yes they did. Shout out to them for doing that. And not in a way that felt all that forced even.
And also not Gallus, which is nice.
Can I just say just quickly, just a quick diverge? That's I said they need to get off the pot with Judgment Day. Certain people they need to get off the pot with, they're one of them. They've been in their system since 2018.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, pull them up or just dump them. Yeah. The fact that they worked with Rock on his last run lets me know that right as of now they're protected within the company.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know, so for sure.
They're workers. They're just
they gotta call them up and do something with them. Yeah. Anything. They can be sitting on Raw for all I give a fuck. They gotta bring
anything
them up.
Anything except banding with Drew. Sorry.
Yeah,
Drew doesn't need anybody.
That and you already have a problem with banding together a group of people from one race or nationality. We don't need to do that to Scotland.
I mean, to be entirely fair, I don't know Drew's background, but I do know I can tell what Gallus's background is in terms of them and what they like.
Yeah.
There's a big divide in Scotland when it comes to that. So better that they don't push any buttons that they don't need to.
Yeah. Oh, is this the football teams?
Yeah, it's the Celtics and the Rangers.
I think there's also like some socio-political shit.
Yeah, there's some social-political stuff, some religious stuff as well out there too. So,
which
makes me they're selling a Clash at the Castle soccer jersey or whatever. It's in like the colors of the Rangers, which like
it is.
Wow, like you might be risking a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Are you taking Bailey?
Yes, I'm taking Bailey.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun match. It'll be a fun match against Nia too. That match against Nia at Takeover London is one of the better takeover matches that people don't talk about. I really enjoy how they laid that out. You know, Bailey is very smart with how to lay out, you know, a little versus big match like this too. So yes, I think that's going to help. Big spot for Piper. You know, she had the big spot against Becky at the cursed 2022 Royal Rumble when the sign caught on fire. That did them no favors. Well, I don't remember much of that match because the sign was on fire and I was trying to see.
Was this St. Louis?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember when it happened. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Bad all around. Big spot for Piper. I think she's been really motivated. This Chelsea team has been tremendous. Shows what can happen when you can be someone like Chelsea Green, not take yourself too seriously. It's been good, man. And I'm going with Bailey, but this again will be a good spot for Piper, and it's nice that she gets it in Scotland.
Yeah. The other women's match currently on the card is a triple threat for the women's tag team championships. Bianca and Jade will defend against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Speaking of getting the other Scottish girls on the list, and Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Would it be interesting if they did a title change here? Yes, but like,
they're so
popular.
I think that Shayna and Zoe are the team that's going to lose the match for this.
I agree.
This match.
Mm-hmm.
Because just reading between the lines a little bit, Alba and Ela keep getting a lot on Bianca and Jade, which, full disclosure, full merit to both of them for being willing to take ass whoopings like that.
Yeah.
Not every top star is willing to get their ass beat.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched SmackDown week to week in a couple of weeks just because I've been watching the playoffs. I've been playing video games. Every clip that I see is Ela Dawn like beating the crap out of Bianca. Like they're definitely selling for that. But that makes me think like, okay, there's going to be a little bit more of an edge to that. And I don't think they're going to make the Scots go over three. But I also, I can see a situation where, you know, like we speculated, maybe Drew gets cost out of the title by Punk. So maybe they could. But in this situation, there's another team there to protect them. And I think that that's being done for a reason.
Yeah.
So I think Bianca and Jade win by pinning or making Shayna and Zoe submit. I don't know. Never know. But there's still some more bad blood between these two teams.
All right, listen. I think Bianca and Jade's the match probably at SummerSlam, right?
Wow, that's quick.
I mean,
that's a little too quick for me.
That's fair.
That'd be surprising.
Well, then they'll probably retain. I mean, if you're going to do it at SummerSlam, then yeah, probably have them lose here and start kind of planting seeds. But if it's not going to be SummerSlam, then yeah, have them retain.
And they still need to wrestle Nia and Tiff.
That's true.
Because they're making them a team.
And
and also, if in a way, it'll be interesting to see if Bailey factors in there too.
Yeah.
If the scenario happens where Bailey costs them the titles, then has another reason to be mad at Bailey.
It's nice that these belts are on the pay per view again. That's what everyone wanted. So
yeah. Well, actually, depending on who you ask, some people wanted the division dead.
Well,
mid-card title instead.
Nice. We can have both.
We can have both.
But yeah, I'll go with Bianca and Jade.
Also, I fully expect Alba and Nyla to dish out some stuff that they just, you've never seen them do before, because they've been waiting for a while for this
opportunity. Oh, yeah.
So they're going to go all out.
Speaking of a mid-card title, like I said, obviously we'll know the results of Battleground by now, but just make a prediction who's becoming the first women's North American champion.
I will go with Sol Ruka. It kind of felt like that's why Mae Yim was down there to win that. But I think she's just really good at ladder matches, multi-person matches, kind of holding things together. I don't think Jada Parker's ready yet. Ooh. I don't think Lash is quite ready yet. I think it's Sol Ruka.
I'm a little more bullish on Jada.
Okay.
Just because I think that I didn't think that they were prepping her as much as some people might have thought, because she only had four matches up until recently on TV. She came out strong in that Summit on Tuesday with her promo game. I thought that was good.
That was good, yes.
Looking across here, I wouldn't be surprised if Meechan wins, just because she's the most established name.
Yeah.
And her winning the title would be fine. That being said, I think you could put a rubber stamp on somebody and give them the first shot here for a title that, again, people have wanted to see carved out for a long time, but you haven't seen, proof of concept yet, really, with anybody besides Becky. And Becky got the title on TV because she's Becky.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with the Oregon Duck, Sol Ruka, as well.
There you go.
We'll be entirely biased here, but I will say, if it's not Sol, I could see Jada. But I will go with Sol. Go Ducks.
So my pick was Sol Ruka, but I'm going to be different, because who all wants to, be alike?
Yeah.
Jada Parker is very clearly being earmarked as a future player for that title. Maybe not now, but some of the shots, like you said, Tuesday, she was on fire in her mic game. She has a real good mic game and a real good presence. And I see her as a future mid-card title holder, maybe not as a champion at this point, but a future mid-card title holder. So she will have that at some point. Sol Ruka, as we're watching this baseball game, and I think the Mets just tied it. That sucks, doesn't it? Yeah, when you leave Taiwan Walker in longer than he needs to be. Sol Ruka is going to be a champion at some point. And I think Sol Ruka is going to be a women's champion at some point. She does not necessarily need the mid-card title. Obviously, she'd be a great number one for that mid-card title, but she doesn't need it. I think with all of the accolades Mia Yim has, I don't think she's ever won a championship in WWE. I think this would be a great head nod to what she's accomplished, how far she's come, what she's had to go through, and what she is doing now as kind of a teacher, a mold necessarily for the younger girls. This is who you want to strive to be as in ring. So I would be fine if Mia Yim went down there, Meechan went down there and won the first title, because I think she would be a good title holder until it's set up for the next girl, who I think is Jada Parker. That said, I think Sol Ruka is your winner, but for the case of being different, let's go Meechan.
Yeah, no, for sure. Should be a good match.
What's next on this card? Let's do I Quit for the Undisputed WWE Championship, Cody and AJ. I don't think this was a good stipulation to throw out there for this match. I don't think you need to throw I Quit in this stipulation.
You know, it's very old school.
Very old school.
I imagine it didn't take much convincing for either one of them. It'll be good. Their other match was very good. They're smart enough to know how to lay this out, you know, even with the result probably not being in question. The build's been very good. Like, I'm here for it. I think, much like a lot of people in the SmackDown crowd this past week and online, I'm also waiting for Roman to come back. So anything mm-hmm. Cody does until then is just kind of there. It's pretty clear they're doing that at SummerSlam. So
is this the end of this feud? Because when you throw out a stipulation like I quit match.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be, yeah, with how AJ had to get it, too. I mean, Nick Aldis told him no, and then he had to go on. Chris said it earlier. He might go to TNA and win the title at Slammiversary and just retire, honestly. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's just done after that. And just does that. I mean, what's he got to do anymore? He's got this program. Like, he's still good, but, like, you know, another guy that, while he's great, you do have to start cycling these guys out.
That would be tremendous.
Yeah. But Cody's gonna win. It'll be a fun match.
This should be a feud ender, though.
Yeah.
And I think that both of them understand that it should be a feud ender. I hope that they do, because there's nothing more that annoys me than feud enders that aren't feud enders.
Well, is there a like monster of the week heel on SmackDown for Cody to face at Money in the Bank then?
Well, you don't like them.
Who?
Cross.
He's on Raw.
He's on Raw?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cross is on Raw.
Well, forget that then. I don't know. Let me see.
Yeah, because they would just need someone to, you know, wrestle Cody in Toronto for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but I don't think they'd have him sit out that pay-per-view. But this should be a feud ender, though. You're not wrong. You just have to fill in the gap, unless, you know, Waller, Theory get a title match or whatever, I guess.
Shinsuke? Well, we did the Cody,
they did Cody and Shinsuke.
Yeah, we did the Cody and Shinsuke thing.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be
so, yeah, we'll have to watch that. But, yeah, I mean, it should be a feud ender. You're correct.
Yeah, like I said, there's nothing more that I hate than feud enders that aren't feud enders.
Mm-hmm. And what I think is the most compelling match of this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Intercontinental Championship. It is Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable. Everybody in this has played their role perfectly.
Yeah.
I have been so sports entertained by the levels of theater that Sami Zayn and Chad Gable and Otis and Tozawa and Maxxine Dupri, also give some credit to Bronson Reed for the last match, have all given us in this. Monday was such a compelling promo in segment between the two, and then Otis coming back around and slamming, and it very excited for this upcoming match on Monday, but even more excited for Saturday. I think Sami retains. I don't think this ends with Gable winning the championship right now, at least with the three of them by his side.
I agree. The fact that the three of them are by his side, that's the tell that he's not doing it yet. He needs to break away. They probably need to do the thing that everyone's speculating with the Creeds joining up, probably with Ivy too.
Yep.
Reformat him, Wrestling Machine 2.0, Wrestling Machine Light, then he'll win the title. Not right now.
So you mentioned an Ivy being in that. I feel like it's so interesting because it's essentially dropping your old family for your new. For every single one of them. This is these are the three who I feel are enhanced in true star pupils, not you, the bumbling big guy, the Ford who's just a joke, or, you know, in the way he's leaning into Maxxine, which is it is going back to, you know, 90s and 2000s and how folks would talk about women back then, but clearly in a more storyline based manner. For them, it would be very interesting if he dumped them for all three of them, especially given that, like, Maxxine and Ivy are cool. Like, they tight right now. That'd be interesting. So, Chris, you're going Sami, Rob.
Yes. Oh, man. I mean, this does feel like a good time for Gable to win it, because I think Sami could just win Money in the Bank if you wanted to do that.
Can I just point out, I have no idea who's winning Money
in the Bank. Yeah, and that's really cool, too.
I think they've tipped you off to a possibility.
Jey Uso.
Money in the Yeet.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not excited for it either, but I'm just saying.
That's a shame. Fair.
Actually, I have one thought for Money in the Bank for the women, but I'm not going to say it.
there's a chance that, because Triple H made a whole big thing about how Money in the Bank can be cashed in for any title, so Jay could win it and
that would be
team back up with Jimmy and Keith face.
No, Tama. God, for the love of fucking God, do not.
It could
do
be
that.
Bloodline stuff.
God help us, no.
Please kill me now.
You can do that. So
I mean, yeah,
it
sounds bad, but Money in the Bank's bad. Sounds so. Bad.
No, it's not.
Bad.
Money in the Bank's really good.
It's not a bad concept. It was a poorly done concept by the person who just kept getting shocked by you out of it by doing the same thing over and over. Or my least favorite thing they ever did was just the means to an end.
Yeah,
it's just
no,
silly.
That's fair. I mean, but yeah, I think it might depend too if Gable's going to re-sign or not too. Like that whole thing's kind of looming over this. Like, they might not know yet who's going to win because. For all intents and purposes, he hasn't re-signed. I don't know that he'd be in this match if he hadn't re-signed, but, you know, you never know. I'm going to go with Gable.
It's going to be a fun Clash at the Castle.
Our third straight pay-per-view on a Saturday afternoon.
It's so fun, ain't it?
It is. Toronto's going to be weird, man.
And not just that, but
Yeah.
I was going to say, not just that, but the Friday SmackDowns.
Yeah,
you know, the fact that like they're over and done, and I can just probably watch them earlier, get the results, and then it's been fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed the McMahon Helmsley Khan era. Keep this shit up. You know, I was real quick before we go back. I was just watching the WWE channel on the Peacock, and they're I think they're on Charlotte and Ronda Survivor Series. I'm sitting back watching, and I'm just like, thank fucking God for leaf fitting. Thank you so much for leaf fitting.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Where are we at in 08?
We are coming off the heels of Judgment Day. Triple H is the champion still. John Cena's back. Things of that nature. Top five songs. Down to five is Love in This Club. Down to four is No Air. Down to three is Lollipop. Down to two is Bleeding Love. And up to number one is Take a Bow by Rihanna.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
A good song.
Couldn't escape it.
Top five movies. Speed Racers at five. What Happens in Vegas at four. Debuting at three is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is unfortunate. Number two is Iron Man, and debuting at number one is The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, and wasn't The Chronicles of Narnia again?
No.
The books were cool, but I ain't watching the books.
We have one piece of news that we missed last week, and that's that Tori Wilson was released, and she was there for 7 years. She came over with WCW. Like, it's a nice run. Yeah,
long, nice Hall of Fame run from Tori. I can really say.
Yep. And also, this will kind of be addressed on Raw as well, but William Regal is suspended for 60 days following his second violation of the wellness policy, which really couldn't have come at a worse time for him.
So it's sad for William Regal, but last Sunday, I was grilling, not even grilling. I had the fucking, so we got like a half grill, half smoker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, yo, we got this slab of baby back ribs. Let's just cook ribs, cook a shot of ribs. So, you know, we got the charcoal and putting everything together. And I just kept hearing in my head the entire time as I'm like putting down the rub for these ribs and laying that shit on. All I could hear was, he's a man. She's doing all the, you know, making the potato salad. Nah, I got the ribs, baby. Because he's a man. Yeah.
All right. Raw from Kansas City, Missouri, the final show ever from the Kemper Arena because the Sprint Center was just about built at this time.
And they need to get rid of that shit because ghosts. You know?
Yeah. That it's still there, which it's not like used for much, but like, yeah.
Have y'all been to the Sprint Center?
Sprint Center, yeah.
Is it good?
Sprint Center's fine. Sprint Center, we went for wrestling a couple times and also saw Kanye and Jay-Z there.
Oh, rad.
It was a different time.
It was a much different era. It was harder than fuck, too, probably. if it was anything like the United Center, it was louder than shit.
Yeah, it was crazy.
God, the second the fucking lights went down, all you heard was, it was so funny.
Mm-hmm. Chris Jericho's facing Batista tonight, so that should be exciting. Jeff Hardy and Umaga go to double count out when they start fighting on the floor and around the ring. They don't answer the 10 count. Pretty good match, except they did Jeff's pyro right after the opening pyro. It was real smoky in there. It was hard to see, but Batista's wrestling Shawn Michaels at One Night Stand. Jericho better not do anything to affect that. Jericho says he's going to do something to affect it. He's going to beat the hell out of Batista tonight, and maybe he'll be the one to face Shawn at One Night Stand. Batista says Jericho can't be 100%. Jericho says good luck to him. Yeah. A lot of mind games.
Sorry, I got crossed up here. Let me see. William Regal's here. Unfortunately, he's not about to be here for quite some time, though.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, WWE will present One Night Stand, a night of Extreme Rules matches only. Give me pay-per-views. Here we go. Jeff Hardy will face Umaga in a False Count Anywhere match. Randy Orton and JBL want rematches against Triple H and John Cena. Regal said tonight they'll square off in a tag match, and if JBL and Orton win, they get to pick the stipulations. However, if Cena and Triple H win, then they'll wrestle each other at One Night Stand, and Regal can pick the stipulation. Mr. Kennedy comes out and runs his mouth. Eventually, Vince came out and said that he doesn't like Mr. Kennedy and the fans don't like Regal, so they're going to have a match tonight, and the loser will be fired. And also, Vince is about to do the stupidest possible ratings ploy.
Yeah, we're about to get some real dumb shit. Beth Phoenix defeats Maria. Katie Lee tells Mickey that she'll be women's champion soon and kind of slut-shames Mickey for hanging out with John Cena last week. Not appropriate.
No.
It's very mean-spirited what they're doing, and it's a shame.
It is.
William Regal says the winner of tonight's match between Chris Jericho and Batista will face Shawn Michaels in a stretcher match at One Night Stand.
That's pretty cool, at least. I mean, when the hell was the last time there was a damn stretcher match?
Well, I noted that when we talk about the stretcher match, so you'll just have to wait a minute. Ric Flair won an award from a military film festival, and presenting him the award was Steve Bannon, who really is awful. Going to jail for election interference. That was interesting. Chris Jericho and Batista, really good match. Batista got the win. You know, it's interesting. Jericho probably doesn't need the Intercontinental Championship because all he does is lose now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just like a toy for him right now.
That's true. Kennedy defeats Regal. Regal is fired.
Yes.
We'll see him. I don't remember the next time we'll see him. It'll be a while.
Yeah, it'll be a while. He'll have Layla on his arm, though.
Oh, yeah.
Good for him.
Regal went to protest his firing, and he knocked on the door to his office, and Teddy Long answered. So he's the GM now.
He is.
Move quick.
Good for him. There was a Piper's Pit with Santino Marella and Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Simmons' friend Cousin Sal that didn't make the Peacock cut.
It was weird because it's going to be a focal point the next couple weeks. So
yeah, maybe it was copyrighted or maybe it was offensive. I don't know. Triple H said it doesn't make a difference at One Night Stand if he faces Randy Orton or John Cena. There's a lot of change in WWE these days, but Triple H is the one constant. It's oddly foreboding.
It is.
Okay, weirdness of that quote aside, JBL and Randy Orton defeated Triple H and John Cena when Orton went to punt Triple H, but he moved at the last second. Cena got punted instead. Randy and Triple H will have a last man standing match, while JBL and Cena will have a first blood match at One Night Stand.
Pretty sure that's the last ever first blood match.
I am almost certain of that as well.
Especially because they do.
True. Yes, damn. That would be mean it's end of an era, right?
Yeah.
Is this the last TV 14?
No, the Great American Bash is.
Yeah.
So okay. That's the last one.
We're close to the end, which is kind of wild, honestly.
But it is.
Just keep going. Who cares? I've never seen any of the stuff past this, so I heard it's bad. But
not that I was trying to get rid of the damn show. I mean, you might have changed the fucking name of it or something. Like, you know.
09 is just such a... I don't even know how to describe it, honestly.
It gets really fucking bad. It gets really, really fucking bad.
It's I think it's very clear, not to get too divergent off the narrative here, but it's very clear that they lost their knack and they just.
You're excited to watch this back. Me and Chris are shuddering in fear with having to remember.
I've never seen it. I know it's bad, but
the guest host thing, I am just so over the moon to talk about. When we get to guest hosts, I can't wait. I can't. Once we get to the fucking Curly Joe and Three Stooges, oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. Are you ready for Summerfest?
Oh my God.
I've seen that.
Yeah. I'm fine with the fall of 2008, but it's not bad, especially Jericho Michaels. But again, 2009, after Mania. It's just so bad.
Even no, oh, after hell. They only say after Mania, after Shawn Michaels and Undertaker.
Yeah.
Once that match is done, yeah. that's the peak of the whole fucking year. The year can end there because it it just goes off a fucking cliff with the main event and never comes back.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
ECW from Des Moines. Armando Estrada's in the ring.
When are they going to run Des Moines, Iowa again? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Bring back those. Run Des Moines. They did Hershey. You got to do Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. Armando Estrada's in the ring to open the show along with CM Punk, Tommy Dreamer, John Morrison, and Chavo Guerrero, who are all former ECW champions. At One Night Stand, the four will have a Singapore Kane match with the winner getting a title shot against Kane at a later date.
And there are worse ideas than that.
Yeah, and also Punk and Dreamer will take on John Morrison and Chavo Guerrero in the main event. Tommy Dreamer is another guy who could come over to WWE in this TNA thing. He's still wrestling.
God.
I
take Paul Heyman. I have
to hide Paul Heyman.
Miz defeats Kane by disqualification when Kane won't let him out of a tree of woe and loses by disqualification. So, sure. Shelton Benjamin finally gets his win over Kofi Kingston. Colin Delaney and Kelly Kelly defeat Mike Knox and Layla. Armando Estrada come out and have a match with Colin Delaney. And, I mean, who cares anymore?
Who cares?
No one gives a shit about Colin Delaney.
Chavo Guerrero and John Morrison defeat CM Punk and Tommy Dreamer, but after the match, Big Show comes out and beats them all up. He's also a former ECW champion, and he's entering the Singapore Kane match. Last time he was in a multi-person ECW match at a pay-per-view, it went great and did not almost kill the entire company. So that's good. It'll be good.
Yeah, of course. All right, we go to SmackDown, also from Des Moines, obviously. Edge and Vicky Guerrero open the show. No one knows how hard it is to run SmackDown. Really? If it's not hard, then explain the last year.
It's true.
Charles Robinson made the mistake of trying to award The Undertaker with the title via countout, but Vicky was here to fix that. So at One Night Stand, they will partake in a TLC match, and if The Undertaker loses, he's banned from WWE.
Damn.
Oh, no, not banned.
What I wonder what the explanation the Undertaker. Was. Was he hurt? Did he need surgery?
I mean, he's
some time off.
Kind of taking summers off at this point.
That's true. He does take time off, but he comes back and they have a Hell in a Cell match. Okay.
Sean's kind of taking summers off at this point too. I mean,
also this just reminded me. You know where SummerSlam was this year?
Where?
Indianapolis.
Oh yes, I did know that.
Yeah.
And they still have like the movie marquee thing, don't they? Yeah,
they do. Right. They try and CM Batista.
I remember that because they did Chicago the very next night, and that was like CM Punk's like homecoming, really, with the title.
Yeah. Okay. So Deuce, Domino, and Maurice beat Jesse, Festus, and Cherry.
Yeah, sure. They don't have much left for Deuce and Domino.
No, they do.
Good to see Maurice wrestling, though.
Yeah.
Good to see Maurice wrestling. Yeah. Chavo wanted to clear the air with Vicky and said that there's no hard feelings. She's glad because Chavo's wrestling The Undertaker tonight. Okay. It's time for the VIP lounge. Teddy Long is here. I thought he was the Raw GM.
Well,
before we get into that, MVP says Teddy held him down because he's jealous of him and also bald. Teddy doesn't want to hear it, so he goes to leave, but MVP grabbed him by the collar and Batista came out. He told MVP to leave Teddy alone or else. I wouldn't want to test Dave Batista right now.
Nope.
He's been weird since Flair retired. MVP said Dave's been disrespectful on his own show. He said he's not being disrespectful, but now he's going to be, and he tore apart his set while MVP watched.
Yep. And MVP went and complained to Vicky, who put him in a match with Batista later, which was not what MVP was looking for, but, you know, that's what you get sometimes.
And then we get, like, five straight matches.
Yes. Finlay defeated Chuck Palumbo. There have been a little mini TV feud for some reason. Batista beat MVP. Vladimir Kozlov defeated Nunzio. Matt Hardy and Kofi Kingston defeated Elijah Burke and Shelton Benjamin.
Three out of four of them are still wrestling. I don't know about Burke, but
I think he was in NWA recently. And then the main event, Undertaker defeats Chavo when La Familia get ejected from ringside, leaving Chavo on his own.
And that makes sense.
Was SmackDown.
That makes sense.
Yep. All right. On to week two here.
Yes. So we're on to week two, the top five songs in America. No Air drops to five. Love in This Club jumps up to four from five. Take a Bow goes from one to three. Bleeding Love stays at 2 and Lollipop is back up to number 1.
Yes.
It spent 10 weeks on the chart.
Good. All right.
It's Memorial Day, which means this show is could be up in the air as to what as to how it will be.
Maybe Sergeant Slaughter will show up.
Maybe. Maybe Hacksaw Jim Duggan will show up. You never know. It's Memorial Day, so we get the usual Memorial Day tribute video to start off. Vince is here. He goes, got what he deserved, Vince says, and tonight he will show appreciation to the fans for something that has never been done before.
It's going to be stupid.
Very stupid. Randy Orton and Triple H had a face-to-face in the ring before their match on Sunday. You know how this went because you have seen this segment before millions of times.
Yep.
But they didn't get physical.
No.
We had our first match of the evening. Melina defeated Jillian Hall. Afterwards, Chris Jericho convinced Vince McMahon to give him a rematch against Shawn Michaels tonight on Raw. Then Crime Time came into the office and started auctioning off some things that Regal left there when he got fired.
Good bit.
Very good bit. And then we have a sequence here that will begin a very fun storyline that will result in one of my favorite turns ever.
Yes.
Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes are wrestling Brian Kendrick and Paul London with the World Tag Team titles on the line. Cody and Hardcore Holly retained. It was a pretty good match.
Yep.
And afterwards, Ted DiBiase's here. Why is the million-dollar man, trillionaire Ted here? Because he has someone to introduce to us, Ted DiBiase Jr.
Well, that's good.
It is. So you think.
Yeah, listen. So everyone thought Cody wasn't going to be the guy.
No. No, they did not. I can confirm that. They did not.
No, not at all.
Everyone thought it was Ted, and Cody had the nickname Cody Rhodes, as in creator wrestler.
Yep.
Because everyone thought he was generic as hell.
Yep.
Yeah, you know? I hate to say that. Maybe it was because we saw Cody for a little bit, and Cody was always skinny as shit.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, Ted had a much better physique. He was a little bit taller, too. So maybe this perception off the bat was that, yeah, Ted was the guy, that Ted was going to be the single star coming out. And we'll get to it eventually when they break, Legacy breaks, and Cody is the one kind of fashioned to be the single star in the beginning. It's like, oh, that don't make any sense. It should be Ted, right? They were right.
Yep.
Absolutely right. On top of Cody not being a criminal.
Yep. But yeah, Ted Jr. says that his dad was a 3-time tag champion and he's going to win the tag titles in his very first dad match.
Is a Christian nut.
The cousin
watch too much Pat Robertson is the problem. Fucking 700 club asses. Sorry, go ahead.
The cousin Sal thing that got cut from last week was shown in clips. So again, don't know why it got cut from last week, but then there's a training montage of Roddy Piper training cousin Sal, and he's going to wrestle Santino on SmackDown next week.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, whatever. JBL and Umaga defeat John Cena and Jeff Hardy. When Jeff misses Swanton, JBL gets up and hits him with a clothesline from hell. Sean doesn't think that Vince's big announcement will deliver because he doesn't think Vince knows how to do anything nice or decent to anyone. Cook his ass.
Extremely fair.
Got him.
Extremely fair assessment of the situation.
Kennedy defeats Carlito. Some Denver Broncos were there. Didn't recognize any of them, but good to see them. I don't even know who's on the Broncos at this time. Cutler's still, but he wasn't there.
Marshall.
I didn't see Brandon Marshall.
Marshall got traded, I think, this season.
Yeah.
Did he? I think it was this season. You really blank me. Darren Williams is gone. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Paul Birch.
DJ Williams.
Oh, yeah.
There's the one.
Paul Birch will beat up Kennedy to defend William Regal's honor because, you know, they're both British.
Okay, Mike.
We get a promo for One Night Stand, which theme song is Hell Yeah by Rev Theory, which you'll remember from Madden 09 or Blue Mountain State.
Good
song. Also was Red Wings playoff.
It was a lot of goal songs for, yeah, and intro songs. Like
it was, yeah.
It's a good song, man. Gets you going. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho go to double count out when Jericho puts on the Walls of Jericho on the outside and won't release it. Will Jericho show up at One Night Stand in the stretcher match? We'll have to see. Most likely. All right. Well, Vince has a big announcement. He's going to give away $1 million every week to fans who he's going to call during Raw, and then they'll have to give him a code word. And if they get the code word, they match, and then they get some of his money. And if it sounds stupid, just wait till we get into it the next couple weeks, because it's even worse.
Yeah.
There's also a guy that at one point is going to Rickroll him when he answers the phone, which...
I really wonder if they've edited any of that out.
I hope not. I hope it's
just hope not. No. It's so funny. Just do it for the gag now.
All right. You know the first In Your House, they give away a house and they call people and do that.
Yeah.
That's also
they did, yeah. Yeah. So Vince clearly didn't learn his lesson.
ECW from Colorado Springs, Colorado, hometown of Bobby Lashley, who's not on this show because he doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah.
Big Show defeats Tommy Dreamer. Kofi Kingston defeats Mike Knox. Chavo Guerrero defeats CM Punk. There's a draft coming soon, so look out for that. Yeah. Colin Delaney says that he doesn't want to get drafted because he likes ECW, but he hopes Armando Estrada gets drafted to a different show. Thanks, Colin. Kane defeats Miz and Morrison by disqualification when they won't follow the tag rules, and CM Punk comes out for the save, and Big Show comes out and gets involved, and Big Show and Kane stare each other down to end the show.
Yes, and we move to SmackDown. Ed said tonight will be the last time we ever see The Undertaker, and he'll be on the cutting edge. Tisa was in the ring. He doesn't have a lot to say. Time for talk is over anyway, but if he's nothing else, he's a man of his word, and this Sunday, Shawn will be hurt. Vicky's here now with the edge, and she has something to say. How does Batista know he'll even make it to Sunday? He and a partner of his choice will face Ryder and Hawkins tonight.
Okay. Sure. Matt Hardy defeats Elijah Burke. Finlay defeats Chuck Palumbo by disqualification. So next week they will have a blow-off to their big TV feud. MVP and Jamie Noble get an argument in the back, and they'll have a match later. Vicky tells the Edgeheads not to worry about Batista because no one's going to team up with him. So see how that goes. CM Punk defeats John Morrison. Batista says he doesn't need a partner, but then the Big Show comes out and they squash the Edgeheads. So look at that. Big Show's on all three shows now. So
more Big Show. That's exactly what I needed.
MVP defeats Jamie Noble. Kozlov defeats Shannon Moore. Michelle McCool defeats Maryse. And then it's time for the cutting edge. Since Edge came back to SmackDown a year ago, The Undertaker's been haunting him like a black cloud, but it all comes to an end one way or another this Sunday. If Undertaker loses, he's done with WWE forever. It's not just a stipulation where The Undertaker's going to show back up in a few weeks. He'll be gone for good. Edge has been showing clips of The Undertaker's career all night. Now he wants to show a video of both men's experiences in TLC matches. But The Undertaker's never been in one, so he doesn't have any video clips to show. But Edge has been in a bunch. He's been in five, and he's won three of them. After a long time, The Undertaker eventually comes out and makes it to the ring. Feels like there's a trap coming, and he's correct because La Familia come out with a casket. Undertaker meets them in the aisle and holds his own for a little bit, but then they get the upper hand, and Edge gets a chair, does a concerto on Undertaker, and rolls him into the casket, and they close the lid. Then the lights go out. Next thing you know, Edge is on top of a ladder, and Undertaker's on the other side of a ladder. And Undertaker throws him off and then beats up the Edgeheads and throws Ryder and Hawkins through tables. And that's how the show ends. And it's actually a really good way to promote TLC one more time. SmackDown's usually pretty bad, but they did a good job here.
Yeah, that was a solid one. All right. One night stand, yes. San Diego, California. The San Diego Sports Arena. It's actually still around. Actually, I drove past it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in San Diego, I was like staying around it and like couldn't find it until like the very last day. Pechanga Arena, I think it is.
Yes.
It's a one night stand. One night stands, once they're no longer associated with ECW, are very, very bad. Although I enjoyed the main event.
Yeah, this one, it had a couple good matches. We can get into it here. I like the stage. It got, you know, some cars and construction equipment and stuff. It's pretty cool vibe. And then we start off with Jeff Hardy against Umaga and it's a false count anywhere match. And they kind of get going outside the ring right away. Umaga throws Jeff off the hockey boards. They get close to the stage and then they end up backstage. And we get Jeff sliding down a railing to clothesline Umaga, which was pretty cool. Also realize that Umaga wrestles barefoot and he's walking through this entire arena, which is gross. Then they end up outside and they climb to the top of one of the ring trucks and Jeff throws Umaga off the ladder and does a swanton onto him, onto the bottom. You can kind of see the crash pad, but like, it was cool. It was a cool match. I like when Falls Count Anywhere matches actually do go all over the place. And, you know, this one, it was fun. I mean, you know, no stakes really, no titles, but they had good chemistry.
So this match unlocked a memory for me. And I specifically remember the Swanton Bomb off the top of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because this is the pay-per-view where I was introduced to Justin.TV.
Okay.
This is the first pay-per-view that I remember finding on Justin.TV and the first match. I think I was like a couple minutes away from this particular Swanton Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So it just unlocked a core memory when I ran this back and I was like, oh shit. Yeah. This is how like me streaming wrestling legally and eventually legally came to be. But either way, fun match.
Yeah.
Very fun match. Very cool spot. Jeff doing stupid shit off of top of things is always fun.
Mm-hmm. Mick Foley explains the rules of a stretcher match and then tells us to vote for who we think will win tonight's stretcher match. And then we see Sean Merriman in the crowd. Very big deal at this time.
Yep.
We get CM Punk versus Tommy Dreamer versus Chavo Guerrero versus Big Show versus John Morrison in the Singapore Cane match. The canes are hanging on all four poles, on all four turnbuckles, so I guess whoever gets to him first gets to him. Everyone starts off by attacking the Big Show. Does not work. After regrouping, they do finally get Big Show down. They each get a kendo stick, and they beat him up, and then Dreamer and Punk put theirs together and clothesline him over the top rope. Chavo and Punk are on the outside, and Punk gives Sean Merriman a kendo stick to hit Chavo with. So that paid off. And Sean Merriman would also go on to be on like two WWE pre-shows, like early in the network days, which was really weird.
Yeah, interesting.
Big Show's back up, and he's got stairs now, but John Morrison takes him out before he can use them. And then next time we see a Big Show, he's bleeding. Comes back with a trash can full of kendo sticks, which was really cool, actually. Big Show gets the win, and this was actually a really fun match, too. This shows off to a good start. Unfortunately, does not really stay on that path. John Cena and JBL, first blood match. I mean, it's not bad. It's not as good as the first two matches, probably because the build hasn't really been much, and like Cena hasn't really been there, and they've also had better matches with stipulations. You know, it's not the I Quit match, obviously. Like, I don't know. Like, JBL also brings in a bullwhip near the end of this match, which is...
Why'd you go with that verse, dog?
Interesting choice. JBL, I got to give him credit. When they announced the Negro League's stats integration, he was all for it. He's not a sort of guy you would think he would be.
Yeah, he's actually... pretty democratic from what I hear. He's fiscally Republican.
Yeah.
But yeah. And that's a whole other issue that I'm going to get into today.
Oh, yeah.
But like, yeah, him and his political beliefs aren't necessarily what people think.
Mm. Yeah. So Cena was tied up in the ropes and JBL brought in a bullwhip, but Cena untied himself and was able to kick him and get free and then put in the STFU with a steel chain and JBL spit up blood. So that's first blood. Cena wins. Again, almost certainly their final first blood match, probably ever. Even though, to be honest with you, I don't think blading is any less safe than some of the moves people do these days.
I agree with that.
You know,
I completely agree with that.
It is what it is. I get it. Randy Orton finds Batista backstage and tells him Sean deserves everything Batista's been doing to him. Batista doesn't believe Randy. He wants to know what he wants. Randy says if they get drafted to the same show, maybe they could bring back the tag team or make a stable of their own. And Batista doesn't want to do that. And to be fair, it's not really going to matter anyway, because Randy's not going to be around.
Yeah. Ow.
All right. We got Beth Phoenix and Melina in an I Quit match. You know, it's weird because it's not for the title.
It's not.
But, like, they make the most of their time, and Melina puts up a good fight and gives up while Beth has her in the submission hold. And, you know.
You can tell.
The women are trying.
Yeah, you can tell the women are trying. You can tell the base of it there's probably more than a little frustration in how they're mm-hmm. being presented. And yeah. they think that they need to evolve, and they obviously have placated them. So mm-hmm. not more plateaued them, I should say.
Yeah, and I think, so, you know, too, yeah. as Finley kind of winds down
yeah,
the ring guy, exactly. we're going to see more of, yes. like, because he was the point person on the women for so long.
Yes, he was.
Yes. John Cena and Mickie James are flirting again. You see, it's funny to point that out on television.
Mm, God.
All right.
Okay, so we have Shawn Michaels versus Batista in a stretcher match. This is our fourth stretcher match we've had since this podcast began. Brock and Big Show.
Incredible.
Edge and Kane.
Very good.
Orton and Van Dam.
Don't remember it.
The fans voted. They think Shawn will win. They're fighting on the outside. Shawn ran the stretcher into Batista. Shawn hit Sweet Chin Music and sent Dave over the ropes and onto the stretcher, but Michaels doesn't have the energy to go try and push him out. Back in the ring, he hit Batista bomb, rolls Shawn onto the stretcher. Jericho came out to encourage him, which was a surprise. Batista stared Jericho down, and Jericho left as Michaels was still in bad shape. Batista got Michaels back on the stretcher. Jericho blocked him from pushing it over the line and is trying to will Shawn back in. Batista was annoyed but doesn't really care. It's basically lifeless. Batista went and got the stairs to do more damage. Did a spine buster, put Shawn back on the stretcher, and shoved it across the wall.
Yes. So probably not going to see Shawn for a little bit.
Nope. Probably not. So then we get our last man standing match for the WWE title between Triple H and Randy Orton. You know, what the hell are they doing still having this stupid title?
Yeah, again, Triple H had power. Like, you would think he would have been one to speak up and say, like, hey, this spinner belt looks really dumb on anyone except John Cena.
I get that it made the money, but, like,
yeah,
you know, what's the deal?
You've got a feeling out process to start. Randy goes for an RKO on the table outside and gets blocked, and Randy fights back and does the apron DDT off the table. Triple H gets up at 9. Randy pulls up the padding to go for an RKO, but Triple H shoves him into the post. They get back in the ring, and Randy hits Triple H with the steps, and it looks like he might win, but Triple H gets back up at 9 again. Randy goes out and gets an electrical cord and starts choking Triple H with it, but he gets up yet again. Goes for an RKO. Triple H counters by throwing him over the top rope directly onto his collarbone, which he breaks, and Triple H hits him with a sledgehammer, and that's that. They show the replay a bunch. Randy's
don't
clearly
need to
messed
show
up.
The replay that much.
We will not see him for the rest of the year because once he gets better, he crashes his motorcycle and breaks it again.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not great.
Nope. And then we get our main event, Undertaker versus Edge in a TLC match for the World Heavyweight title. Besides the Jeff Hardy match, has the Undertaker ever been in a ladder match? No.
He's not.
Undertaker connected with Old School early on. Foley said that Taker needs to strike early and often because this match favors Edge. He's right.
Good point.
Good analysis, Foley. Edge was stacking tables like he did against Cena. Crowd wants tables. I mean, it's in the name of the match. It makes sense. Edge splashed Taker through a table off the announce table. Edge had the upper hand after whacking the Undertaker's knee with a chair. Undertaker chokeslammed him through a ladder set up on the outside. Went up the ladder, but Ryder and Hawkins attacked him. They got chokeslammed for their troubles. Edge came back, speared Undertaker off the apron to the barricade, set up a table, pretty harsh bump. Taker hit a last ride through two tables from midway up the ladder. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Chavo and Bam Neely are here to take him out. Taker got them both out with a chair. Edge got up, pushed the ladder. Taker went through two tables on the outside. Hell of a bump.
Yep.
And Edge's climbing, and Edge got it.
Yeah, so Undertaker is gone from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Hell of a finish.
Also so do
I. Good way, yeah, hell of a finish. Good way to write off Taker and then get him out there, and good way to get the belt back onto Edge. It sucks that everything that just always happens to Edge just continues to happen, and it's not going to be for long. But we'll get to that when we get to that. So that is our show for this week. We'll be back next week. We'll get through some more of the month of June, and we'll recap this show. I think what else is kind of popping off? Is there anything else? We'll be looking forward to the Forbidden Door show. We'll kind of look ahead, like a little soft look ahead to Money in the Bank. I'm going to Disney at the end of the month, so like I'm kind of just getting ready for getting ready to be stuck around Disney people for a whole week. Just please, please be pray for me, I guess is the best word. I'm at Cameron Sansa on X. That's where you can follow me. Rob's at RobMcNeil31. Chris is at Chris Novak. At BarberChairNet on X and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarberChairDigital. Thank you for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Enjoy Battleground tonight, or if you already enjoyed Battleground, or if you haven't enjoyed Battleground, enjoy it. Enjoy Clash of the Castle. We'll see you back here next week to talk about it. For Robin, Chris, and Pierce, be good.